All right, bang, bang, Chicago Dog Walk. Today is Wednesday, February 27th. So listen, you heard a week filled with mayors. We had six of them on. A lot of serious conversations, maybe not so serious, with Willie Wilson. You just saw the title of this podcast. You'd think it's going to be real heavy. We got a guy who had cancer on. He's a survivor. But it's not going to be that serious because my guest, I know him. He's a friend of mine. His name is Danny. Danny, how are you?
I've been worse. And yeah, this isn't going to be like a St. Jude's commercial. We're just going to shoot the shit about having cancer.
Yeah, no Sarah McLachlan type audio into this show. There's not going to be anything like that. But you're right. You have been worse because you had cancer.
Correct. And you can ask me anything you want. I'm not going to cry. And if I do, we can edit it out.
All right, cool. So first off, it always begins as how'd you know? Were you WebMD and shit? Were you online and like, oh man, this is it. I know this is cancer. Or were you like, oh shit, I have cancer?
So I was 16. And I was a sophomore in high school. And I just had common cold symptoms. You know, like you're always convincing yourself you're fine. And then eventually something happens out of the ordinary. And you're like, oh, God. So I was having fevers on and off for like a month. But I was also going out for the wrestling team for high school. And I had to wake up early. And we had to do practice before and after school. So I was like, oh, this is why I'm feeling sick. I'm like flipping tires at 6 a.m.
Yeah, you're in a 110-degree fucking wrestling room.
Yeah, brutal. So... And then I started, like, blacking out here and there. So, like, oh, this is new. And then at that point, it's like, fuck. Like, now I have to seek medical attention.
What do you mean you were blacking out? Like, you were, like...
Like, I would go up the stairs, and I would feel like I'm about to faint. I'd be, like, man. On autopilot. I'd get dizzy, but I'd still be walking normal.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so... And then even at that point, though, like, it takes so much to book a doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
You know, to be like, oh, I got to make sure my schedule lines up. I'm going to have to... Like, take school or work off. Like, I could cough up blood. I'm still going to be like, all right, let's wait it out.
Going to miss eighth period. I can't miss that test.
Yeah. And so I just thought I had mono or something. So I went in and they took blood work. And then they told me I had ALL, which is acute lymphoblastic leukemia.
Really? So, yeah. Like, right off the bat they told you? So they're like, they take the blood, they go and they like to leave the lab. And they're like, hold on.
So this, I was 16, sir. Mind you. So it was a pediatrician. So I was Jason Segel for getting Sarah Marshall on the fire truck. So then they had to send me to like the real hospital because they're like, we don't really know what's wrong with you. And so then they took the blood samples. Then I got the call like, you need to come back in. I was like, oh, boy.
So what was that moment like, though, when that lady walks in or maybe the pediatrician, whoever it was, she walks in and she's like, hey, like, you have cancer, sir. Were you like, whoa?
I mean, they phrase it better than that. They're like... I believe she said, we found some leukemic cells mixed in with yours. We have to double check everything. You're going to need to go in for more tests. So it wasn't like you have 5 months, you know?
Yeah, no, there's nothing like that.
The thing was, that success rate for leukemia, especially in children specifically, it's at like over 95%. So I kind of knew I wasn't going to die and I was knocking on wood at the time. So I kind of was just like, they told me I have cancer. I was like, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, this, I'm in for a ride.
Yeah.
There's no shot of NyQuil or nothing like that that's going to take care of me for this.
No. And it's for leukemia. It is the longest treatment aside from if you have like a breast cancer that keeps coming back or a tumor that comes back. It was like 7 months of once chemo once a week. Then after that, it was once a month for a year. And once a month or once every 2 months the second year. So I was getting it like well into college.
So where did they take you though right after the pediatricians?
So then I was booked in the hospital for a whole week. They were basically just doing things. I was like, do whatever you need to do to my body. Just like I was getting needles poked like in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. You know, like they take your vitals in the middle of the night. I didn't know that.
Who brought you to the hospital?
My mom.
Your mom? So like her reaction was probably a lot worse than yours, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was obviously bawling.
Well, was she? Yeah. It started right off the bat.
Yeah.
And, like, were you crying?
No, I wasn't crying. Like I said, it was more of shock. I mean, you have to let it settle in. And at this point, I didn't even know if I had it.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, let's settle down for a second.
Oh, so you can have leukemic cells, but you might not have leukemia?
I mean, there was a great chance I had it, but yeah. They say, like, technically everyone at some point has cancer because there's... one point or another, it could be an overflow of cancer cells in your
really?
Body. But yeah. But
that's pretty interesting. I don't think people
it comes
know
and goes. But then, yeah, like I said.
So, all right, she's crying. You're like, oh, shit. Do whatever you got to do to me. Whatever. Obviously, you know that means chemotherapy. Got to talk about chemo. Is it like what you see on TV? Is everybody strapped up on recliners in like a room, or how did it work for you?
You know, I was actually trying to get a bag of chemo for us to see how it would work. I had to go to the doctor like 2 months ago, go like once a year now. And I thought it was like, you know, chemo, it's not like you're asking for painkillers. There's no like plus side to it. So I thought it'd be funny. I want to give you the full experience since I'm a cancer patient, since I've been going to these guys for 3 years. I thought it'd be a joke, but it turns out it's just like you're asking your doctor for drugs. It was a crime. It's a crime. So they said no.
So you were like the meth head that went to Walgreens. It was like, hey, can I get that stuff that I could make a meth lab with?
Yeah, basically.
Wow. So were they did
so,
not.
Sorry to disappoint. No, we have no chemo today.
They did not appreciate it. But like, what was it like though?
So for me personally, everyone's different. I got to preface with that. I don't need cancer Twitter coming at me. But I didn't really do a drip. I did it like a handful of times. So the most time it was just a shot. It was a quick shot. You wait like a half hour.
That was it. Just
feel,
a shot.
You feel sick. Yeah.
So there was no thing where you recline up. You're maybe watching an episode of Cheers.
No courtroom TV or sitting in that hydraulic bed for too long.
So what did it feel like though when you got the shot?
Like, how did I feel? Yeah. It feels a lot like you're hungover.
Yeah.
Like, obviously a little worse than that. Mixed with the flu, I'd say.
Yeah.
Hangover mixed with the flu. But it varies. There's different kinds of chemo. There's stuff where you're getting into it and you're like, oh, this is the good shit. Like, it's going to fuck me up.
This is the good shit.
And so, yeah, you're just very nauseous. It's your average Sunday during college.
So it felt like a Sunday.
It felt like a Sunday. Yeah, it just lasted for about 7 months.
And did you get this every day for 7 months?
It was once a week.
Once a week. What do you remember? Was it a certain week or a certain day? Like
Friday.
You should have just got it Sunday every day. You
know? I should have.
So you got it on Friday?
Yeah.
So you're going into the weekend with a hangover?
I had to, so I didn't have to miss school. It's brutal.
That's terrible. Yeah. So were you like knocked on your ass for Friday night?
Not really. I mean, at first, of course, you have to get used to it, but yeah, I don't want to like undersell chemo. Sure, it sucks, but you definitely, like everything else, build a tolerance to it. And yeah, you just feel really dehydrated. You feel tired, but don't get me wrong. There's crazy kinds of chemo. There was one where I took and it gave me pancreatitis.
Wow.
So that's never good. Yeah, so then you have to go in the hospital for
so like that was like you
weeks.
Got a bad vial or something? Or
it was like a 1 in 100 chance of side effect, they said.
Oh, fuck. So, yeah. What does pancreatitis entail?
I couldn't even tell you. All I knew was, so I just got this new kind of chemo treatment. And the thing with this stuff is you don't know what you're expecting. You don't know the side effects. I was like 16 at the time. So I get that, and then I feel super sick for the next couple of days. I'm like, all right, like this is par for the course. Starting to finally feel like a cancer patient here. And then I was like, couldn't keep anything down. And then we told the doctors, I'm like, oh, well, that's not normal. I was like, well, how am I supposed to know? I thought chemo was terrible.
Yeah,
I'm just going through the motions.
Feeling like shit is like a prerequisite of chemo.
Yeah, they were almost like, no, you idiot. Like, you have pancreatitis.
Honestly, I would have been on the same page with you. I would have not thought
of it. Yeah, and then you're like, all right, I'm just going to duke it out. But then it's like, where's the line between, like, should I be concerned about this?
So this was how many months into your 7 months?
This was month three.
Month three. So then it's like, oh, shit, pancreatitis is here. And you got to deal with this now.
Yeah.
How was that? Was that pretty brutal too?
Yeah. Like, if I had to choose like the worst part, it's probably that just because I had to stay in the hospital until it cured itself. And when you're on all that treatment, you basically have no immune system.
Okay.
So it took forever.
Yeah, that's brutal. So you were 16. Were you boozing back then? I mean, I know you, but you know.
Yeah, here and there. I wasn't an alcoholic, but we'd go in the woods every other weekend, have a couple Millers.
So were you able to drink?
I really wasn't. I mean, they say, I know now because I know people who have cancer and they weren't 16, so they were able to ask their doctor if they could drink at the time, you know, without him like kicking them out. But they say for the most part, like if you feel good, then you can drink. Don't be doing keg stands or anything. But if you feel good, that means that the liver has pretty much processed the chemo. Don't get me wrong, they're gonna tell you not to drink every time, but you gotta feed the itch or scratch the itch or something. So yeah, I really did not drink, but then like I said, I was still getting it once a month in college, and I was overdoing it then.
College, yeah. Oh, yeah. So would any side effects for that? That's really where the Friday hangover hits you.
Yeah.
Was that on Fridays?
I was totally prepared for college hangovers after all the chemo. But yeah, I mean sometimes if I drink like the week after the week I got it, yeah, you get a little more fucked up quicker.
Yeah. Okay. And what about your hair? Did you ever lose your hair or anything like that?
So, funny enough, I never actually lost all of it. It thinned a lot. I kept my eyebrows. The pubes were still there. I figure that's your follow-up question.
Sure.
But yeah, so it kind of just thinned out. I look like Gollum from The Lord of the Rings. Like, it was, the hair was still there and everything, but
there's like a proper name for it. You've told me before, right?
What's that?
Like moon.
Oh, that's
moon face.
Yeah, that's from the steroids.
Oh, okay.
It just swells your face completely
up.
You
were taking that as
well.
Yeah,
I had to take that too.
How was that?
I those are worse than chemo.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
They're crazy. You're just getting these mood swings. I remember you said you took steroids.
Yeah.
Well, obviously different types, but
yeah, I didn't get moon face.
Were you mood swinging though?
I mean, I didn't take it very long. I've said this before. It was like a 2-week thing.
That's pretty long.
Yeah.
But yeah, they like changed everything. Like, your sight was off, all your senses. They gave you weird food cravings. It was brutal.
Yeah, and you just looked like that.
I just looked like Moonface.
You look like a big baby. Yeah. That's gigantic.
The big baby from Toys R Us, Toy Story 4,
yeah,
3.
Yeah, you just looked like him. But what about when you were in high school, how were you viewed then? Because I remember I went to the same high school as you. You're a couple years younger than me. I didn't know you at the time, but I'd known you as the cancer guy.
Right. It's a dominant trait to have. Like, I'm a pretty weird guy, and I think that still sticks with me. You know, it's like cancer kid.
It's like, ooh, this guy, he's got cancer. Like, you know,
I mean, sure, you'll get the sympathy likes. You got on Facebook, got like 45 more new MySpace friend requests,
yeah,
shit like that. But I don't know. I missed like a month of school off the bat. Sure, you get second glances here and there, but.
What about a big thing, too, is people like to latch on when tragedies happen. Did you have anybody like that who is like, oh, I'm going to be this guy's best friend now because he has cancer?
Yeah, like they just tag you in a Facebook post. You haven't talked to them in like 4 years.
Give you a stay strong.
Hashtag stay strong. But I don't know. I sure there were, but it's weird. Like, some of these people, you may not have talked to them for 3 years, but you still grew up with them. Yeah. You're not going to be like, take this post down, report it to Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sure, there were some latchers.
There was some latchers.
I call them fans, though.
Fans? They stuck around, though.
Yeah.
They're still around. Oh,
no, after I beat cancer, they just left.
They're just gone.
Yeah,
so what about...
I got to wait for the next tragedy.
How have you dealt with it now? Like, in your Bumble profile, does it say cancer survivor?
That's a good point.
Like,
put it this way, I've never put anything... Like, I don't put the anniversary every year on social media. Like, 10 years gone. It's just... I like to work for my likes. And that's an easy 500 liker, but yeah. I'm going to get my likes the same way our forefathers did.
Yeah, you know what? I feel bad having this conversation because we're just making a mockery out of so many people.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But, like, listen, no, there's nothing wrong with that. You had cancer. I have been affected by people I know who have had cancer. Everybody listening knows someone who was affected by cancer. It's a very serious disease. We understand. But this is Barstool Sports, so we're going to have a little fun here.
Right.
And that's just all there is to it.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead. If you want to get those sympathy likes, it's on you.
Yeah. But you've never...
But I don't want to be putting pictures of me up when I look half dead.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think that makes sense from like 10 years ago.
So what about you? Were you old enough to get a wish? Make a wish?
Oh, yeah. So the cutoff is 18. I was 16 and I met the cast of The Office.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so Make-A-Wish, I mean, they fucking hook it up. Like, my whole family went, so there were 6 of us all together. They got us all free flights. We stayed at an amazing hotel, like Alice Cooper was staying at the time. Then we were there for like 3 days. They get us fast passes to Orlando Studios one of the days. We meet The Office for a whole day one day. And then afterwards, we're like, you want to stop by the Conan O'Brien show when he was still filming in L.A.? We're like, sure. And so aside from that, they give you like debit cards, just... spending money too.
Really?
So shout out Make-A-Wish. Yeah.
So Make-A-Wish is just all about it. Do they give you options or are they like, hey Dan, like let's talk about what you want to do. Here's, you know, you had leukemia, so it's not very serious. Like we could take you to like Six Flags. Something like that.
Yeah. There was like, well, when they told me, they're like, oh, you get like a dying wish. I was like, oh, well, this is getting real. So I wanted to be strategic about it though. I wanted to meet multiple stars and get a free trip. And The Office, obviously, my favorite show.
Yeah.
So why not meet Carell and the boys, go to L.A. And yeah, The Office, I mean, everyone from there was amazing, the whole cast. If I had to complain about anyone, I would say it's Pam. But during that time, I was there for the episode. I watched some film, the episode where Pam gets to hit Michael after Michael dumps Pam's mom. So she might have been in character.
Mm-hmm. Why? What would she do?
you know, she just really didn't give me the time of day.
A little standoffish?
Yeah. I was like, whatever, Pam. You know, she got booked in Blades of Glory, and then all of a sudden, she's...
So for all the Pam haters, this is going to be a big podcast.
Oh, that's right. She is. Pam is known to be hated from The Office. Yeah, I never hated her that much.
A lot of people hate Pam and Jim. So that's definitely an interesting... an interesting development, I would say. Who was Carell cool?
Oh, yeah. He was the man. He was... It's pretty cliche to say this when you meet a celebrity, but he was literally like... The nicest guy I've ever met.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Like, him and my dad were talking on the side. Carell lived in Chicago for a while. They're just shooting the shit about certain restaurants, certain joints around here.
That's awesome, though. So did you get to see him, like, fill, like, a scene? Or they were just, like, on break eating a sub?
Yeah, they were on break when we got there, and we ate lunch with them. Huge buffet. It was, like, a Tuesday afternoon. I'm telling you, these fuckers had prime rib, lobster. Kevin was going at it. I'm serious. He really was.
Wait, it was like lobster and shit too?
Dude, it was crazy.
On a Tuesday afternoon.
Yes, it was just one long, like 20-foot long table.
What a fucking whatever life you live out there. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and then Ryan like passed up on lunch.
Really?
I was like, are you kidding me? There's lobster here, Ryan. Get your ass over here.
Ryan, what is going on?
I don't know.
Like, dude. Michael is only attracted to you like fakely in the show.
Yeah.
It's not a real thing.
Jeez, know the difference between real life and outside, Ryan. Also, what do you think Barstool would do if someone wanted to make a wish with them?
You know what's funny is there was someone, I'm a big Howard Stern guy too, obviously. There was someone who did make a wish and they went to Howard and he like just sat in on a show. I think they had like strippers and shit there for him and he just like had a good old time. I think for Barstool, I mean, obviously you get to come to the office, maybe like sit down on like a Mount Rushmore's for part of my take. Maybe sit down a little Barstool Radio. Probably do a pizza review with Prez.
What if they did like an exit interview? Part of my interview.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Maybe, I mean, if Asa was still there, you could probably see your tits or something like that. If you were of age, you know, if you were, you know, I mean, I don't think anyone would be of age.
Yeah, there's not many rules. For Make-A-Wish, the only rules are you cannot wish for a car, a house, any type of loan payment. Or more wishes.
Really? Oh, okay. That's a good rule of thumb. I didn't know that.
I wanted a car, but...
Why? What do you think would be like a good bar stool?
Yeah, I'm just wondering. It's interesting because the camera's always rolling there. I don't know what it's like if it's sensitive to have a kid with cancer in there.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, I was thinking like a pizza review. Maybe go on a wine walk with Liz. Sit in studio for the satellite show. I don't know. We got to ask them.
Yeah, and I think Mount Rushmore's would be a fun one to just sit in on and just
Mount Rushmore cancer survivors.
Yeah, that would actually be a good one. That would be really funny. All right, so we're wrapping up at the end of the show here. Is there anything you want to get off your chest at the end here? Anything people should know about cancer? Anything crazy?
Something pretty wacky that happened, actually. I had a friend who passed away from the same kind of leukemia that I had about a year before I was diagnosed. And afterwards, his parents went to a psychic. Like, they went all the way to New York. It was, like, a legit, like, a Madame Zeroni type psychic. So, it was a real deal. And they wanted to talk to their son. And the psychic was like, all right, he's giving me this shape, like a clover. And they're like, oh, a shamrock. That's the mascot of his high school. He was a freshman at the time. He was obsessed with St. Pat's. And they're like, okay, I'm getting a letter, a G. And he's like, oh, one of his best friends' name is G for Gianna. And she's like, all right. It's like, now I'm getting a name. Like Conrad. And like, oh, Danny Conrad. Conrad's my last name. They're like, okay. They're like, yeah, he's trying to say something to him. And I wasn't like, I don't want to latch on to him. Like you were talking before, I wasn't a latcher to the tragedy. But we were like B-list friends. Like I say that because it was weird that he was trying to contact me when I wasn't even in his close circle. So the parents just like shook it off. They told me about it. They're like, oh, I guess he was just trying to say hi or something. I was like, oh, that's weird. And then about a year later, I got diagnosed with the same leukemia as him on the same exact day.
No fucking way.
And so then they were trying to say, like, that's what he was trying to say. I mean, you could believe it all you want. I feel like someone claiming they saw Bigfoot without a picture right now.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah, and then his parents started a foundation called the 41-9 Foundation because those were his sports numbers growing up. So go check it out. Donate to that. But I'll see weird things here, 41-9 signs. So, for example, the set Apple time for the iPhone commercials is 9:41. And so this year, on both of our diagnosis dates, if you want to call it that, which was November 4th, the Bears played. And the final score was 41-9
against the Bills.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy.
And I believe that was the 10-year, the 10-year anniversary.
No,
I didn't post about it, but I'll say it on the podcast.
Dude, holy shit.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Some crazy stuff.
Man, well, hope he's doing well up there, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's insane, dude. Holy shit. I
can't explain it.
Like, how do you even, like, psychics? Like, that's wild.
That's a whole other podcast.
That is so.
A whole other dog walk.
It really is a whole other dog walk. But, yeah, thanks a lot for coming on. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will see you tomorrow. Shout out, Neighborhood Guys.